So this week we are starting a new series called Courageous Church. And we have talked all year about this being our most courageous year. And we want to be courageous as the church, not just in our own personal lives. Remember, we are the church, us, you and me. We, the church, the Greek word ekklesia, which means the gathering of God's people. It's not the building, it's not the pews, it's not the sanctuary. You are the church. It's you. You are God's house. Your heart is where God resides. And when we, God's people, gather together to learn in Sunday school or to worship and praise and hear God's word at our Sunday morning services, or when we gather for small groups or to serve our community like a big block bash, that is ecclesia, that is church. That's what we are doing, the gathering of God's people, the saints, that's us. You feel like a saint this morning? All around the country, all around the world this morning, God's people are gathering. Some in buildings with HVAC systems, some outside. Some have roofs, some don't. Some are loud, some are quiet, huddled around a Bible with hushed tones to avoid being caught and thrown into jail. But none of that matters one bit. None of it matters because the church gathers first and foremost for one purpose. One purpose. And that's to give God what He cannot give Himself. In Luke 19, 38 through 40, Jesus is making His final trek into Jerusalem. The crowd start to praise Jesus. They start to praise Him as God, and they start to worship Him, and they throw down palm branches in joyful celebration of the King of the Jews. And the Pharisees begin instructing Jesus to tell the crowds to stop. Stop what they're doing. To which He replies, you remember? I tell you, He replied, if they keep quiet, the very stones will. There is nothing God cannot give Himself except praise, except worship. If you get nothing else out of this morning, please get this. The church exists to worship God. That's why we exist. I know we did a whole series this year on worship. But today I want to focus on how God wants us, the church, to worship, to how He wants us to worship as a church. This includes a place where believers can observe the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's death and shed blood on our behalf. The concept of breaking bread, which also carries the idea of having meals together. This is another example of church promoting fellowship. And according to Acts 2:42, we are to pray. We are to be people of prayer. The church is to be a place that promotes prayer. It teaches prayer. It practices prayer. I think all of these are ways to worship. And today we're going to try to answer the question, what on earth are we here for? What on earth are we here for? What is our mission as the church? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. In other words, it's this. The church exists to transform people to Christ's likeness. The question is, how do we do that? How do we transform others to Christ's likeness? Well, here at Bowen Christian Church, we say that in a couple ways. We say we are here to save the lost and to nurture the saved. You guys have seen this logo before, right? That captures 2 Corinthians 3:18, doesn't it? The question becomes practically, how do we do that? And I think that's a really good question. I think first and foremost, that question has two parts. I think first off, I think that the Big C church, the global church, the church all around this country and all around the world, that church has some universal things that all churches need to do. And then the second part answers the question, what is Bowen Christian Church here for? What makes us unique? What are we here for? Why do we do what we do? And like I've already said, I think the first universal idea about why the church exists is to worship God. We don't want the rocks to cry out, right? We don't want the birds or the trees to take our places. We want to offer God our worship, our whole selves, as living sacrifices for Him. So as I was preparing the message for this week, I was reading some articles about the church and what we are here for. And for a long time, my personal philosophy on ministry has been captured in three words: win, grow, and send. That's it. The church is here to help win people to Christ, grow people in Christ, and to send them out in the name of Jesus. That's what we're here for. And I think that's an easy list to remember, an easy three things to remember. So one article I read this week had four things. And I was like, oh man, four things? What do they got? You know? They took my three things and they broke one of my things into two things and they made four. And so I felt all right about my list. I didn't feel too bad. Anyway, this morning we're going to look at the idea of what on earth is the church here for? So this morning we will look at an overview of these three things, and then each week we will take a closer look at the three purposes of the church. So, number one, the church exists to help win people to Christ. That's number one. Mark 16:15-16. It says, and then he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Is anyone tired of arguing? Anybody? It seems that all anybody does anymore is argue, doesn't it? I mean, it is relentless. It is non-stop. People argue about politics. People argue about religion. People argue about TV shows. Just get on the internet, start reading any news story. Read any social media post. It can be the nicest, friendliest, cutest story ever. You scroll down to the comments and what happens? Oh my. It is awful. So there's two late night talk show hosts, right? And you don't have to agree with them, whatever. They made a funny little video together, right? There's Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. Now these two guys look nothing alike, but they're both late-night talk show hosts at the same time. And so they made this video, and all it was supposed to be a funny little video saying, here's how you can tell us apart. It was it's supposed to be a joke, right? Just supposed to be funny. So they record this video together, and it's, you know, basically the whole premise of we're different people, we're not, but then they, you know, in comedic fashion, they basically, I found out that they were the same person, right? I mean, it was just supposed to be really funny, right? And so they posted this video online, and people thought it was funny. And then I scrolled down and started reading the comments. And it was unbelievable. This cute little funny video was just awful. The comments were terrible. This video that was supposed to be cute and laughable and kind of brighten your day up, it was, this person is the worst. Oh, this person's not funny at all. I hate all these people. I wish they would all die. You know, like what in the world are you doing? Like, this is silly. So why do I bring this up? Because you know what is a breath of fresh air? Do you know what I think people can really resonate with? I really think a breath of fresh air people can really resonate with is some good news. Now, will people want to argue? Yeah, they will. Unfortunately. But you know what would be equally refreshing? Is that if you, yourself, refused to argue. If you didn't get yourself drawn in. I know, it's so hard. Man, today more than any other day, people need to hear some good news. Don't they? Everything is either one side or another. We can't be friends or compromise with anybody. We can't give an inch because we have to demonize the other side so that our side can win. Sometimes this world feels like all the air has been sucked out and we can't breathe. You know what I'm feeling? You know what I'm saying? Hear this. Jesus is good news. He's great news. He has good news for everyone. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Do you hear me? He loves you. He loves people from Afghanistan. He loves people from Syria. He loves people from Iraq. He loves people from the U.S. He loves people from Africa. He loves people everywhere. He loves us. Red and yellow, black and white. We are all precious in His sight. You get it? He has a different way. He has a better way for us to navigate through this world. He is love. He desires that we love each other. He wants us to love Him and each other just as He loved us. That's such good news. If we read the story of the prodigal son, it doesn't matter what we've done. He, the creator of the universe, the one that created all of us and put the stars in their places, He, that guy, He just wants us to come home. And that's such good news. Isn't it? I loved our Big Block Bash this last weekend. I think part of the reason why I sound like I do right now is because of that event. But it was awesome. Here's a picture. We had easily over 200 people there. And for our little community, that's pretty awesome, right? Mike McClellan walked around, did a loop, and he counted 160-some people just from his little stroll. It was a great night. And we said several times throughout the night, hey, here's the purpose of tonight. And I think people are always looking for, well, what's the catch? What are they getting at? What are they trying to get from us? And we just said it, and we mean it. We just want to bless you. We just want to bless our community. We want you to know that we love you. Mission accomplished for that night? I think so. Our praise band was awesome. And they played, and they played. They played a lot longer than I thought they would. It was awesome. They were amazing. And our volunteers were amazing. And my wife, who won't take any credit. She planned all the logistics of it. She did an amazing job. It was a great night. And I'm excited about what's going to happen next year, because that was just the start, right? Good news. We have it. People want it. We just have to give it to them. And hopefully for our community, this was a breath of fresh air, don't you think? Another reason, number two, the church exists to help is to grow people in Christ. We are not supposed to be one to Christ and then just go about our lives like normal. That's not what the point is. Acts 20:28 says, "So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, His church, purchased with His own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders." Now, Peter talks in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 how when people were young in faith, they needed to drink milk. But now, since they are older and more mature in the faith, they should be eating milk, eating meat, not drinking milk. We waited, you guys all know Elijah and his story, right? And so, I think we kind of felt guilty. I mean, we did feel guilty, let's be honest. We're like, man, he had such a hard life. He's had such a tough time. And he wanted his bottle so bad. And we couldn't take it away from him. It was like, it wasn't in us. So he's 2 years old, still drinking a bottle, right? And we're like, no. And finally, we're like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. You're supposed to quit the bottle at one, all right? So we had gone a whole year longer than we were supposed to. And so now, then we went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, anything you want to tell us? And we're like, well, we kind of just took him off the bottle, but we did. We wanted to make sure that we could be honest and say that we had weaned him from his bottle. And they were like, "Don't do that. That was terrible. How could you do that?" And they're like, "You know what? He spent 4 months in the hospital. If he wants a stupid bottle, give it to him." Right? That's kind of our approach. Here's the deal. When you're young, you drink milk. But as you get older, you put the bottle away and you start eating real food, right? And as Christians, some of us need to get to where we're eating real food, right? Some of us need to stop drinking milk and start diving into God's Word and to start looking at what God has for us and to start maturing and eating some real food. I hope that as we continue to get older in our faith, that we would also become more mature in our faith. You know, I told you for a while ago how Evelyn prays for meals, right? She always prays for our meals. And she always says, "Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God." Well, something like that. "In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." It's the same prayer every time. And you know what? She's learning how to pray. That's okay. That's okay. And sometimes now she's starting to pray before bed. And she'll start off into "Thank you, God, for this food." And then she's like, "Oh, wait, no, I can't." So she's learning not to just say that, you know, that same thing all the time. But that's okay for now. But eventually when she is starting to grow and develop her own relationship with Christ, that needs to change, right? That communication with God needs to be different. It needs to be more mature. What if her relationship with God never changed past that point? Well, then we're not doing our job. We're not raising her as we should to love Jesus. Paul tells us in his letter to the church in Ephesus, that God has given every church different people Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church and the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that He will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Again, you see here that Paul is saying that the goal of all believers is to continue to mature in the Lord and becoming more and more like Jesus. So how do we grow in Christ? Well, we'll look at more of that in the next coming weeks. But for now, we just need to know maturing in our faith is our goal. And it's something we have to do. So finally, the church exists to help send people out in Jesus' name. I think in the past, the American church has done a disservice to Christians by saying that the only people really working for the Lord are pastors and youth ministers and missionaries. It's not true. If you read your Bible for like a minute, you will see that this is not the case. Ephesians 6:7, work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So let me be totally transparent with you for a minute. You, all of you, not just Phil and Casey back there, you are a missionary. You are a minister. You are a preacher to your coworkers, to your families, to your friends. You may be the only picture of Jesus that people ever see. You are so much more, excuse me, you are so much more effective as showing the love of Jesus than I will ever be. You are. Why? It's because of relationship. You have it, and I don't. We need to all consider ourselves to be missionaries. We need to to work as though we have... Okay, we need to work as though we were serving the Lord because we are. We need to understand that we have been sent, that we have been commanded to go, that we have been told that it is up to us to partner with God to reach those that we love. People are watching. People are watching you. This week... there's been a lot of flurry about a rapper. His name is Kanye West. And Kanye, in the past, he still may be, has been considered crazy, right? He's a crazy guy. He says crazy things, he makes crazy statements, whatever. But in the last year, Kanye has undergone a transformation in his life. I'm not here to tell you if it's real or not. I don't know. I don't know his heart. I don't know the guy. But Kanye, allegedly, has given his life to the Lord. And he recorded an album. The only album, he's a rapper, he's the only album he has ever recorded that doesn't have a cuss word in it. And the name of that album is Jesus is King. And there's Christian lyrics. It seems to be a Christian album. Right? And once again, what does our society love to do but just pile on? Oh, how can that be? And just people are, and here's the deal. And you know who is mocking and ridiculing and criticizing the most? Christians. I don't know if this is real or not. All I know is he wrote a Christian album. He has Christian services every week. I mean, church services. He calls them church services. And they're evolving into something more than just silliness. I read an article, and he said this. He says, "We are here to spread the gospel. Excuse me if I mispronounce anything. I'm a recent convert. It means I recently got saved within the year." And the article says, as Kanye finds the light in his darkness, let's take a look at where his relationship with religion began. I don't know. I don't know anything except for this. God, forgive me for running to criticize, for running to mock, for running to scoff a brand new brother in Christ. People are watching. They're watching the way that you work. They're watching the way that you play. They are watching what you do when you're around your family. They're watching. They're watching when we argue with each other and mock and criticize a man that has just come to the Lord. They're watching. Let's do everything. Let's do every single thing as if it were for the Lord. Let's do everything as if people's souls depended on it. Because they do.